Classes of the Neighbor, Introduction, Day 2, Good is the Neighbor. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them disputing together, seeing that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God from thy whole heart, and from thy whole soul, and from thy whole mind, and from thy whole strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, Well spoken, teacher, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him from the whole heart, and from the whole intellect, and from the whole soul, and from the whole strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. And Jesus, seeing him, that he answered discreetly, said to him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared question him any longer. Mark 12 verses 28 to 34. New Jerusalem and Her Heavenly Doctrine, number 87. Now, since good with everyone is various, it follows that the quality of good determines the degree and the proportion in which anyone is a neighbor. That this is so is plain from the Lord's parable concerning the man who fell among thieves, who, being half dead, was passed by, both by a priest and also by a Levite. But a Samaritan, after he had bound up his wounds and poured oil and wine into them, put him upon his own beast and brought him to an inn, and gave orders concerning him that care should be taken. This man, because he practiced the good of charity, is called a neighbor. From this it may be known that he is a neighbor who is in good. The oil and wine also, which the Samaritan poured into the wounds, signify good and its truth. Number 88. From what has now been said, it is plain that in a universal sense, good is the neighbor, since a man is a neighbor according to the quality of the good that is with him from the Lord. And since good is the neighbor, so also is love, for all love belongs to good. Therefore also, everyone is a neighbor according to the quality of the love which he has from the Lord. Number 89. That it is love that causes anyone to be a neighbor, and that everyone is a neighbor according to the quality of his love, appears clearly from the case of those who are in the love of self. They acknowledge as a neighbor those by whom they themselves are loved most, that is, in the proportion in which they belong to them. These they embrace, these they kiss, to them they do good, and these they call brothers. In fact, being evil, they call them neighbor in preference to others. The rest they acknowledge as a neighbor in proportion as they are loved by them, and thus according to the quality and extent of their love. Such people consider themselves to be the origin of the neighbor, since it is love that causes and determines neighborliness. Those, on the other hand, who do not love themselves in preference to others, as is the case with all those who are of the Lord's kingdom, derive the origin of the neighbor from him whom they ought to love above all things, and thus from the Lord. They also esteem everyone as a neighbor according to the quality of his love to the Lord and from the Lord. From this it becomes plain from whom the man of the church ought to derive the origin of the neighbor, and that everyone is a neighbor according to the good which is from the Lord, and consequently that good itself is the neighbor. Questions. In the New Testament, the Lord adds the element of the mind, or the intellect, or thought, to the heart and soul and strength of the Old Testament. How does that affect our approach to life? How does the Lord teach us to love Him and our neighbors with our whole mind in the Gospels and in the heavenly doctrine? The parable of the Good Samaritan shows that people are neighbors in different ways and to different extents. How can we practice charity or mercy as the Samaritan did, pouring in oil and wine into a neighbor's wounds? Love, essentially, is the neighbor. But how can we know what we really love, much less what another person loves? Our immediate responsibilities are to our parents and our children. How can we tell the difference between fulfilling these responsibilities versus merely loving ourselves by caring for our own family?